Good morning. Welcome to Osage. Would you stand with us as we begin to worship this morning? I found a friend who is all to me. His love is ever true. I love to tell how he lifted me and what his grace can do. Divine, saved to new life sublime. Life now is sweet and my joy is complete, for I'm saved, saved, saved. He saves me from every sin and harm, secures my soul each day. I'm leaning strong on his mighty arm. I know he'll guide me all the way. Saved by his power divine, saved to new life sublime. Life now is sweet and my joy is complete, for I'm saved. Save, save. When poor and needy and all alone, in love he said to me, come unto me and I'll lead you home to live with. Sublime. Life now is sweet and my joy is complete, for I'm saved, saved, saved. Amen. You may.
You know, this pastor search is not something we got a lot of experience with, praise the Lord. It's been a while since Osage had to go through this. And so, as I understand it, it's a program that just kind of helps us know how to start the process, how to move forward with it. So, if you have any questions at all, talk to me. I'll be glad to answer them best where I can. But best thing to do would be to come in a week and a half and see what Tim Wicker says as he presents it and see if this is something that we want to take as a church as we start the search process. Anything else?
Any other announcements?
So what do I do now? Do I just leave or do I? I can do that. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this church home and this church family that we have here. And I just pray for your hand on our service this morning, that you would move freely in it. I pray for Brother Lanny as he speaks and brings this message. And I just pray for your hand on him and be with our hearts, that we would hear and apply what you would have us to hear. These things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
today. There's just one thing that I want to say. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all you've given to me, for all the blessings that I cannot see.
Good job, Tom. Thank you for that. Let's stand together. Through my disappointment, strife, and discontentment, I cast my every care on the Lord. No matter what obsession, pain, or deep depression, I'm standing on the solid rock. I'm standing on the rock of ages, safe from all the storm that rages, rich, but not from Satan's wages. I'm standing on the solid rock. Even though he's gone now, I don't feel alone now. I'm comforted in the Spirit of the Lord. Now with his word to guide me, from temptations hide me, I'm standing on the solid rock. I'm standing on the rock of ages, safe from all the storm that rages, rich, but not from Satan's wages. I'm standing on the solid rock. Now I'm pressing onward, each step leads me homeward. I'm trusting in my Savior day by day. And close is our relation, firm is its foundation, so on this solid rock I'll stay. I'm standing on the rock of ages, safe from all the storm that rages, rich, but not from Satan's wages. I'm standing on the solid rock. I'm standing on the rock of ages, safe from all the storm that rages, rich, but not from Satan's wages. I'm standing on the solid rock. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. This rock is Jesus. Yes, he's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure, be very sure, your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus, yes, he's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure, be very sure, your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. Amen. Thank you. sky without a north star, a ship without an anchor, caught up in the current. My heart is prone to wander. All the roads I've taken lead me back to nowhere. You're the destination, you're the way to get there. You can have it all. Be the song I sing, be my guiding light, Savior of my soul, be the Lord of my life. Every step I take, always by my side, I am yours, you are mine, be the Lord of my life. Oh, 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 oh. Mercy's never failing, forgiveness overflowing, the beauty you're unveiling, a love that just keeps growing. This is all I want. I surrender all. Be the song I sing, be my guiding light, Savior of my soul, be the Lord of my life. Every step I take, always by my side, I am yours, you are mine, be the Lord of my life. Oh, 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 oh. Be the song I sing, be my guiding light, Savior of my soul, be the Lord of my life. Every step I take, always by my side, I am yours, you are mine, be the Lord of my, I am yours, I am yours, you are mine, be the Lord of my life. I am yours, you are mine, be the Lord of my life. Amazing love that welcomes me, the kindness of mercy that bought with blood wholeheartedly my soul undeserving. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. You're so good to me. Behold the cross, age to age, and hour by hour, the dead are raised, the sinner saved, the work of your power. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. You're so God, you're so good. God, you're so good. God. all. I am healed, I am whole, I am saved in Jesus' name. Highly favored, anointed, filled with your power for the glory of Jesus' name. I am blessed, I am called, I am healed, I am whole, I am saved in Jesus' name. Highly favored, anointed, filled with your power for the glory of Jesus' name. And should this life bring suffering, Lord, I will remember what Calvary has bought for me, both now and forever. God, you're so
Amen. It's good to have you in the Lord's house with us today, and I'm looking for the microphone, if anybody knows where that is. If you're visiting with us for the first time, there's a visitor's card there in the pew in front of you. Would you fill that out and drop it in the offering plate as it comes by? We just want you to have, we want to have a record of your visit and let you know that how glad we are that you came and visited us. Our young man will come now to receive the morning offering. One of our men will lead us in prayer.
Pray with me. Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the blessings that you give us every day, blessings of life, things, our talents. Lord, just so thankful for the camp and all the children, Lord, that had a great time and those that profess salvation. Lord, we give you the honor and the glory. At this time in our worship service, let us give back a portion to what you give. Lord, use this offering further your word and your kingdom here on this earth. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
If you're in charge of Children's Church, we're going to allow you to take charge of your group right now. I have a note of appreciation here from the Gray family to the church. And it says, we would like to thank everyone who was so generous, helped us. We've got an escapee here. You're losing control, Jackie. Well, I don't know what. And here I was getting ready to brag on you. We wanted to thank everyone for their generous help and giving the diapers and the wipes to help us get started. Three kids and diapers is truly a lot of changing. We would also like to extend a special thanks to you, the Gathrights, and the Blevins family that made sure we had a beautiful and safe porch, and the Hammonds family for taking 2 days a week and helping with the kids as we finished our foster training, and the Fries that helped us get the CPR training we needed when otherwise I was not able to find any direction. The Youngers who gave us the car seats that we needed. It was definitely the people here at Osage Baptist Church that led our family to join a church after 16 years of being unattended to church. We thank you all for your love and kindness. Your kindness and friendship has changed our lives and brought us back to church. Sincerely, Ronald and Jackie Gray. And thank you all for allowing us to be a part of your lives. Appreciate that. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Acts, the 4th chapter. We have several guests with us today. Addie brought a bunch of those. We're thankful for that. That was kind of a new experience for me in baptism. I didn't realize she had as big a fear of water as she had, and I'm not sure she realized she had that big a fear of water until we got started. But anyway, we got it done. I think that last part of that might have been before, so I'm not sure. But we're glad that Addie, she'd been wanting to do that, and she had accepted the Lord, and so we're glad that she is able to do that, and glad that so many of her folks showed up to support her in that. And we have some special guests with us today. Noah's parents, David and Crystal. Of course, Noah's with us, and we're glad they are here, and we're glad you're here. So with that said, take your Bibles and turn to the book of Acts, the 4th chapter, and we're going to start with verse 31, and I'll read for us, and you follow along in your translation. And when they had prayed, I think that we need to really take note of this. And so I do not forget it. The day of Pentecost came back in chapter 2. So the Holy Spirit has come and it's filled them. And it's in the process of filling them. And everyone that gets saved, each individual that accepts Christ as their Savior, Eddie, when she asked Jesus to come into her heart, she also got the gift of God, which is the Holy Spirit, to come in and guide her. And we're going to talk about that gift today, what that gift is about and what it does for the church. So that had taken place. They're out now, the new church, the birth of the new church, they're doing business for the Lord. And a man was healed. And the religious leaders didn't like it, and they warned them not to say anything else about Jesus. Don't preach in his name. Don't mention his name. Don't say anything else about Jesus. And they had put them in jail, and then they turned them loose. They warned them and then turned them loose. And so they met for a prayer meeting. And this is what the prayer meeting is about. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. That's going to be one of our thoughts today. This great boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power, I want us to take special note of that. They had great boldness, they had great power, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection. Excuse me, of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus and great grace. There it is again. Great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the price of the things that were sold. And they laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. You may be seated. Three things in this passage that I want us to gather today from this reading. First of all, I want us to be able to grab hold of this boldness. It's not natural. It's not put on. It is something that the Holy Spirit gave them because of what they had. Now, I said before, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself here. But they were sharing the Lord Jesus with a lost and a dying world, which is the job of the church today, is to share the Lord Jesus with a lost and a dying world. Now, I may have my stuff mixed up here, but I wanted to make sure that I ask you this question as I ask myself this question. You see, if I point at you, how many I've got pointed back at me? I wanted to ask you this question. Is what you have worth sharing with anybody else? Do you want to share that with anybody else? I mean, do you want other people to have what you have? That's the main part of it. That you and I are able to share what we have because we can share it with such enthusiasm as the first church did, that they wanted other people to have what they had. Where are those folks? Weren't you responsible? Anyway, there's a bunch of them missing. We got a bunch of folks gone today. We got our youth are in. Where is it? Arkadelphia. And super summer down there. Got another group going a little later on. You pray for them. Number one, verse 31. They spake the word of God with boldness. Their boldness was in the Word of God, not in their own opinion. It was the Word of God. You see, this is what gives us power. We know that this is the truth. By the way, folks, there's not any other truth. This is it. And if it goes contrary to this, it's not the truth. This is the truth. And God has not changed His mind. The Bible says that He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has not changed His mind. This is the truth. He doctrinally, from cover to cover, it's the same as it has always been. It has not changed. I'm appalled at the leaders that would be able to stand up and say that they've changed their mind about how we ought to do church. Who ought to pastor behind the pulpit? And that we ought to allow, Southern Baptists ought to allow women to pastor their churches. Let's make it clear. The Bible says that the pastor is to be the husband of one wife. And no woman can be the husband of one wife. I'm not saying the women have a magnificent role to play in the church. Real disappointed in this Saddleback pastor, Rick Warren, that has come out and decided he knows more about what ought to be done and what the Bible does. God has not changed His mind on that, folks. And neither should we. Matter of fact, He won't change His mind. It's going to be that way. And if you think that the church can lower its standard in order to get along with society, there is no such thing. The Bible gives the standard that the church is to follow and the rule that the church is to follow, and there is no other rule book other than the Bible. I heard him say that we're allowing all this talent to go to waste. Well, I'm going to quit that. Let's get back to this. They spake the word of God with boldness. There was boldness because it was the word of God, not their own opinion. And their boldness was supernatural. Did you see that? Their boldness was supernatural. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. And when God shows up, He shakes things up. Here the Bible says that the place was shaken. Would you attend a prayer meeting if you knew that the place was going to be shaken? You know, I think that we may have come to a place that we don't expect God to do anything, so He doesn't do anything. We're not expecting anything big to happen. We've got in this whole hum that it's, but have you noticed that God is up to big stuff? I mean, look at the universe. Go out at night and look at the stars. He's up against some big stuff. Our kids learned some stuff in vacation Bible school about their bodies I did not know. I didn't know that our bones were stronger than concrete, did you? I didn't know about how many times a guy's eyes batted from the time he was born until he died. I didn't know about how many different smells that you and I are capable of and how God created that. And our taste, how God created that. We are fearfully, anybody know? And wonderfully made. This place was shaken. In Isaiah 6 and verse 4, you know the passage. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. If you read that passage, you discover that they're in a very desperate situation. We're in a desperate situation. But the people of God were in a desperate situation. It was in the year that King Uzziah died. He's a good king. He was doing things right. He was God's man. And he died. But yet this is what Isaiah saw. He said he entered the temple and he saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple, his authority filled the temple. And when he spoke, the post of the temple shook. Isaiah understood that God was all powerful and that God was still in charge. I tell you, folks, it worries me. Our society worries me. And I think, oh man, where are we headed? And our leadership worries me. But I've come to discover that in the Word of God, that it says that God is still in charge. He hasn't thrown in the towel. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. And He spoke to me. And He said, who shall we send? And who will go for us? I tell you, there's something about being in the presence of God. When God shows up, that people get it in their heart to want to do what God is calling them to do. And so Isaiah, you remember what he said? Well, here am I, send me. We get this attitude, here am I, send somebody else. But Isaiah knew better. Acts, the 16th chapter, is another illustration of when God shows up, things are shook up. You remember the story? Paul and Silas were thrown in jail. And they didn't just throw them in jail. They gave them a whipping first. Did you know that? They laid stripes on them. We discover as we read the passage that the jailer took them home with him and he doctored their wounds from the beating after things were shook up by God. But the Bible says in that 16th chapter that they were thrown in jail and that they were bound. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and complained about their situation. Are you with me? Where'd you find that at? It's not in there, is it? I mean, think about that situation. And we if we went outside today and had a flat tire, we would complain, wouldn't we? Here's these guys that took a good beating. They threw them in jail, locked them down, bound them, and the Bible says at midnight they prayed and sang praises unto the Lord, and the prisoners heard them. You get the picture? Did you get the picture? I can see it, can't you? They're sitting there together, and they've been praying. Silas looks over at Paul and said, Paul, you remember the look on that old boy's face when he received Christ? How his life was changed? His wife got a new husband. Those kids got a new daddy. Everything was changed. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Don't you want that in your life? There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath the flood lose all their guilty stains. That song is true. That song is scriptural. And that's what they were experiencing that night in jail. And God shook the place up so much so that it opened all the prison doors and set the captive free. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Opens prison doors, addictions doors. Sets the captive free. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prisons were shaken. Number two, they had power to witness in verse 33. Great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord. This word power here comes from the original word dunamis. It's where we get our word dynamite. Something supernatural, though. Something more powerful than dynamite. Miraculous power. The power is in the miracle itself. They had this power because they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts 1 verse 8 says, "And you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth." Supernatural power to witness. In Ephesians 5 and verse 18, as Paul was writing to the Ephesians church, he said, "Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Number three, great grace was upon them all. I don't have enough words to explain grace. I know that we have this term that we always use, this definition that we always use for grace, and you know it well, and you've been taught that, and it's a good definition. Grace is unmerited favor. That's a good definition of grace. But it goes beyond that. Grace, the Bible says we're saved by grace. We're saved by grace through faith, that not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We're saved by grace. But grace is more powerful than just saving us. Grace is more powerful than unmerited favor. Grace, when it says great grace was upon them all, grace gives us the power to live the Christian life. You and I do not have it in us to live this life. Grace makes it possible for us to live the Christian life. Do you know what an EGR is? We got this little saying here. EGR is extra grace, what? Required. Extra grace required. So when you're dealing with somebody like me, you need extra grace sometimes. Extra grace required. And every one of us either have EGRs in our life right now, or we've had it, or we're going to have EGRs in our life. We're going to need extra grace to deal with people, to deal with jobs, to deal with the situation that's going on in our life right then. You think that when you get saved, that everything's just going to be a bed of roses and all at once, the electric bill's going to go down. Rent's not going to be as high. Your wife's going to be a lot easier to get along with. Your kids are going to come in at curfew time and say, "Dad and Mom, we've just had a wonderful time. Let's sit down. Let's talk about what we did tonight." You think that's going to happen whenever you get saved? No. I had one guy to tell me. He said it was a lot easier for me before I got saved. And it probably will be. It probably will be. But I'm convinced. I am convinced this book is right. I'm convinced that it's the truth from cover to cover, that men have given their lives for what it teaches. And women. I read a little story about Corrie Ten Boom yesterday. Giving her life, going to a concentration camp because of what this book teaches. Grace makes it possible for you to do that. Great grace was upon them all, verse 33. Great grace gives you the power and the willingness to do that which could not normally be done under our own strength. An example of that is how you deal with other people. Verse 32 says that they were all of one heart and of one soul. That's grace. That's not natural. That's not natural. They had all things common. People don't normally do that. People don't normally give of their stuff. Where they shared everything they had with one another. Verse 34, that action's supernatural. That's not normal. It's because of grace in our lives. Grace does not give us what's the word I'm looking for? It does not give us the liberty to sin. Good, I figured that out. It does not give us liberty to sin. Grace does not say that God won't spank you for your sin. Grace doesn't say that. Grace doesn't say that you can live any way that you want to. Because you're saved, everything's going to be all right. God doesn't really expect anything out of you. That's not what grace teaches at all. Matter of fact, God said, if you're my kids, I'm going to spank you. And when my mother got through giving you a spanking, you didn't have to guess whether or not she'd given you a spanking. We had a peach tree out in the front yard. It never did bear any peaches. She kept all the limbs pulled off of it. I'm telling you, a peach tree limb about 4 foot long, Gene, can lay a stripe on your legs. I remember me and my brother being around behind the house with our britches down comparing our stripes. That made me mentally ill. Have you noticed? The Bible says if you spare the rod, you'll spoil your child. And God knows that better than anybody does. And so when we step out of line, he corrects us because he loves us so much. And he exposes us because he loves us so much. Monica and Matt, come and help me. If you're here today and do not know Christ as your Savior, I want to ask you, would you make that decision today? We're going to sing a song of invitation. Would you step out from where you're at, come to where I'm at, and just simply by your coming say, Brother Laney, I want to get saved. I want to ask Jesus into my heart as Savior. If I were to die today, I don't know where I'd spend eternity at. Never made that decision. I want to make it today. Perhaps you're here today and you want to recommit your heart and your life to the Lord. You feel the Lord tugging on your heart even now, and you want to make a fresh commitment to him that you're going to do what he's calling you to do. Maybe you're here and God's dealing with your heart to become a part of this fellowship. Follow the Lord in believer's baptism. You've already trusted him as your Savior, and now you need to follow him in baptism. You have a need. I'm going to ask you to come right now. Let's stand together.
Have you failed in your plan of your storm-tossed life? Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. Are you weary and worn from its toil and strife? Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. He will keep to the end. He's your dearest friend. Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. Are you walking alone through the shadows dim? Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. Christ will comfort your heart. Put your trust in him. Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. He will keep to the end. He's your dearest friend. Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. Would you follow the will of the risen Lord? Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. Would you live in the light of his blessed word? Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. Hand in the nail-scarred hand. He will keep to the end. He's your dearest friend. Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand.
Well, amen. This is praise the Lord. He is so good all the time. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for your love and your grace. Lord, I just want to thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit that worked through our day camp this past week. And I pray, Lord, that you would just continue to bless us as a church and continue to give us more avenues to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. We love you, Lord. We praise you. We pray that you would go with us as we leave this place. And we pray this all in the name of Jesus. Amen.